This is the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by Wickles Pickles. Look for Wickles Pickles at a grocery store near you and bring those tangy and fresh pickles to your home. Now, here's Andy Burcham with another Talking Tigers podcast.
Bob Starkey had the opportunity to take over a program that he, as the interim head coach, had taken to a Final Four. By the way, nearly everyone was coming back for another Final Four run. Without the guarantee of a job on the new staff, Starkey turned it down. Recently, Starkey was inducted into the A Step Up Assistant Coaches Hall of Fame. Now he's part of a staff led by Johnny Harris to turn around the Auburn women's basketball program. He brings over 30 years of coaching experience in the Southeastern Conference to the Plains. Bob Starkey is featured in this Talking Tigers podcast presented by Wickles Pickles.
I mentioned to Bob Starkey when we connected on this Zoom, I'm just thrilled to see him on an Auburn sideline after watching him on the opposing sideline for over 30 years. Bob, welcome to Auburn. A lot of folks very, very excited about this staff and the new direction for Auburn women's basketball. Just kind of give us an idea of what it's been like these last couple weeks making that move for you here to Auburn.
Well, you know, it's been a little bit of a whirlwind. First thing you want to do is you want to get in here and make contact with the current team. It's probably one of the biggest things that's changed in the game in terms of recruiting. You know, the most important recruits we have are the ones that are currently on the team. So we want to get an opportunity to get to know them and let them get to know us, take them through a few workouts to see what we had going on. And I'll say this, 41 years of coaching and changing jobs, I've never had more administrators, people that have been so incredibly helpful with all the things that go on in a transition that I have here. Just amazing people here at Auburn to make you feel welcome, get you going in the right direction. And then, of course, there's the peripheral stuff, you know, putting a house up for sale back in College Station and buying a new home here. And pretty hectic, but very, very exciting. Very exciting.
Before we talk about your career, I do want to talk about your recent induction into the Step Up Assistant Coaches Hall of Fame, the class of 2020. When did you find out about that, Bob? And what does that mean?
Well, it obviously means a lot. I found out from the committee via a phone call. It came about a year ago. The induction ceremony was supposed to happen last spring. And of course, the pandemic pushed it back. Got a phone call from Felicia Hall Allen. I was actually sitting in my office breaking down some tape and just had to step back and stop a little bit. You know, when you're an assistant coach, there are some things that you assume, and it's all good. You know, I absolutely love being in the shadows. I've had opportunities to be head coach. That's not who I am. You know, Clint Eastwood used to say, a man's got to know his limitations, and I absolutely know mine. But for a step up to create something, to honor people in this position that have toiled at it a long time is really special. Really special. You know, you don't ever think of yourself as being a Hall of Famer when you're an assistant coach. And now there's something in place for those people that have made that commitment for a lifetime to do.
You have worked with a great deal of Hall of Famers. Now you're a Hall of Famer as well. And I'm looking at the story that Jeff Shearer wrote on AuburnTigers.com. Julius Southard with Marshall, Dale Brown and Sue Gunter at LSU, Van Chancellor, of course, at LSU, Gary Blair at Texas A&M. What has it meant to work with that group of folks in your storied career?
Well, it's obviously a big, huge part of my success. Each one of them are Hall of Famers, but all five of them are completely different. They all have five different philosophies, five different ways to go through things. So I've been able to observe and help their recipes for success. I honestly don't know anybody that's worked for five Hall of Fame coaches in their career. So I feel incredibly blessed that I've had that opportunity.
You mentioned that you've had the opportunity to be a head coach. Was that a tough decision for you, especially that first time that opportunity came about for you?
Somewhat. The first really serious thought was when I had to step in and be an interim coach at LSU on the women's side. And we had a nice run in the NCAA tournament, found our way to the Final Four, and we had a massive group of seniors returning for the following year. You know, it was sold to me as something where we could have some continuity and You know, and I love those kids. And I knew if I didn't take it, they would go out and hire somebody. That person may or may not want me to stay on board. But at the same time, I thought that group of seniors and that program at that time deserved a marquee name. And we were coming out of a controversial situation. And I thought a clean new head coach would be a great way to keep the program moving. And you know, our athletic director at the time was Skip Burtman, and he went out and landed Van Chancellor, WNBA four-time champion who had worked at Ole Miss and was a Hall of Famer himself. And Van came in and thankfully kept me on staff, and we were able to go to a Final Four with that group of seniors. So it worked out. So there was a little pressure for me to think about it. Not enough seriously. I honestly knew what needed to be done, and just so thankful it worked out well.
I want to put a pin in your career to that point and go back to the beginning. So how does someone that goes to college in journalism, of all things, end up in the coaching realm?
Well, you know, first of all, I'd have to go back to my junior high days. And my junior high coach, Alan Osborne, had an incredibly strong impact in my life. My father at that time was working three jobs. He had a job during the day, a job in the evening, and a job in the weekends just to make ends meet and take care of our family. And so Alan filled a very, very important void. And that was not lost upon me. But when I went to Marshall, I was interested in being in journalism. And because I love basketball, I took a basketball coaching class as an elective. And the person who taught it was Stu Aberdeen. And Stu was the head men's basketball coach at Marshall and had been with Ray Mears at Tennessee. Stu's actually the one who recruited both Ernie and Bernie. So we know that legend. But Stu, in basketball 101, never mentioned anything about an X and O. All he talked about each day was different ways in which you could impact young people, help a community, get behind a cause, all the great things that you can do by using basketball as a tool. And it just, you know, it hit me. You know, that's what Alan Osborne had done for me. You know, he had impacted my life. And I thought, here's a chance for me to possibly do some good things in this world while coaching a game that I love. And that class with Coach Aberdeen was the reason that I got into coaching.
Where was home for you, Bob?
Home, I was born in Charleston, West Virginia. Lived there for up until about the seventh or eighth grade. Charleston was a city. And then my father, who was a country boy, wanted to move back to the country. So we moved halfway between Charleston and Huntington, finished my schooling there and actually started out coaching. You know, people always ask me about the you know, I went back and forth to the men and women. My first coaching opportunity was in high school. And in West Virginia at that time, the girls played in the fall and the boys played in the winter. So I started out coaching them both. So when I had an opportunity to switch back and forth on the college level, it really wasn't a big thing.
What was your first college opportunity?
My first college opportunity was in HBC, West Virginia State College. I'll tell you a story real quick as I can. When I got there the preceding year, they'd been 4-18, and it's an NAIA school with budget issues. We didn't have scholarships, and I was paid $6,000. They gave me a room in the dorm and a meal card. And our first year, we went 18-10, one of the biggest turnarounds in the country. And at the end of the year, my athletic director called me and he said, listen, Bob, you guys have done a great job. And I hate to do this, but, you know, the budget is taking another hit. And we got to drop your salary from $6,000 to $4,000, and we're not going to be able to afford the meal card. So we went out that year and we went 26-8. And following the season, Dr. Treadway, bless his heart, has long since passed away, called me and he said, Bob, I'm embarrassed. But we're not going to be able to afford your housing. We got to drop your salary from $4,000 to $2,000. I loaded up my clothes and moved into the office and lived in the office. And we went 31-3, national runner-ups. Had two kids off that team drafted in the NBA, Ron Moore, Ronnie Leggett. To this day, it is my absolute favorite team. I say that, you know, you're not supposed to say those kind of things. It was an amazing group of kids. And I say kids, they're all grown men now. Every one of them are incredibly successful, and they're incredibly close. You know, a lot of times with teams, there'll be three or four people in that group that remain close. All of these guys remain close. And, you know, they're in their 50s now, but they've been there for weddings, for funerals, family events. And half of the team came from various parts of New York. yet they still come back to that little town in Institute, West Virginia every year for homecoming. And I couldn't have been more blessed to come out of the blocks and be a college coach than I was at West Virginia State College.
Where did it take you next?
I had an opportunity to go to Marshall University and work for Judy Southern. At that time, I thought that was my dream job. I went to school at Marshall for a couple of years to major in journalism. Marshall had a special place in my heart. I can actually tell you where I was at in junior high, sitting in my living room on a rainy Saturday on a November 14th when Marshall University's plane crashed. In that community, that's something special. So I had an opportunity to go there and work for Judy Southern. Again, another great coach. A lot of people don't realize Judy was Pat Summitt's first ever assistant coach at Tennessee. So had an opportunity to learn from her, win a Southern Conference championship. And I was only there for 1 year because Dale Brown offered me an opportunity to come down and work for him at LSU. And I just couldn't turn that down.
How did Dale Brown hear about you?
Well, you know, that's a great story because a lot of young coaches always ask, what can they do to get in the business? And when I was a high school coach, I would take 7 or 8 weeks every summer and go out and work camp. So my first job at West Virginia State College, I got because I worked summer camp there. Judy hired me at Marshall because I worked camp there. And I had gone down for about 4 or 5 summers and worked camp for Dale. Just went down there and grinded, worked hard, did whatever he told me, did the things you're supposed to do by networking, keeping in touch, dropping notes. And the NCAA, coaching for the right reason. When I was at Marshall, I was making $18,000 and had a school car. And after West Virginia State College, you know, when my salary got, I thought I'd hit the lottery. It was incredible. So Dale offered me a job. It was when the NCAA had first allowed the third assistant, and it was called a restricted earnings position. And it only paid $12,000. So I took a pay cut and gave up the school car to go work for Dale.
I look at the career and some of the personalities that you've worked for.
Yeah.
Dale Brown, Sue Gunter, Van Chancellor, Gary Blair. That's some colorful. I mean, they're very successful coaches, no question. Without question. But that's some colorful personalities that you've worked with as well.
It made for a lot of victories and a lot of great times and a lot of great stories. They're part of the history of the game. My favorite thing to do with Coach Gunter was in the offseason, we'd go over to her house, sit on the back porch, and have an iced tea or a break open a bottle of wine and have her talk about some of the ways the game has grown from when, you know, people know she's a great coach, but she was also an All-American player back at Nashville Business College, which is now obviously a part of Vanderbilt. I've learned basketball, I've learned life, but I've actually been able to learn some of the history of the game from people who created it.
All right, from Dale Brown to the women's side there at LSU?
Yeah, you know, I worked for Dale for 13 years and he retired. And Sue Gunter is somebody, I actually knew Sue before I knew Dale from working camp, and Sue had recruited one of my high school players. So, you know, I used to enjoy going over and talking to Coach Gunter in her office and watching him practice and certainly going out and watching her teams play. And so Dale announced his retirement like January or February of that year. And as soon as the season was over, Coach Gunter said, you know, you like living in Baton Rouge? I said, yes, ma'am. She goes, I got a spot opening on my staff. How would you like to come across the hall and work for me? And so I had an opportunity to go work for absolutely one of the most incredible people I've ever worked for. Just obviously a great coach, but an incredible human being.
Some of the players that you have been a part of their careers, whether it's Shaq or, goodness gracious, Simone Augustus, and those are just a couple names that come to mind. I mean, there's a lot of history in the kids, now the adults, yeah. They were kids at the time that you have recruited probably and coached in both men's and women's basketball.
You're looking at somebody who's incredibly blessed. I've coached 4 first-round draft picks in the NBA. I want to say like 13 or 14 total NBA draft picks. On the WNBA side, I'm like, we just got through having 3 of our players from Texas A&M drafted this year. So I think I'm like 27 or 28 WNBA players. And certainly, you know, some of the greatest in the game. You know, last night having a conversation with Simone Augustus, who announced her retirement after just one of the most remarkable careers a women's basketball player has ever had. So I've had an opportunity. This is really true, Andy. The better the player, the smarter I am. And I say that part with humor, but also you learn from some of these players, by the way they go about conducting themselves, by the way they operate, by their mindset, by the way they work, by the way they're driven. And I've certainly, you know, Sylvia Fowles is another one who I think will go down as one of the top 10 players to ever play. Shaquille was obviously an amazing player, but was a great teammate, great kid. I can name a ton, but I don't know if we have enough time, but you're 100% right. A lot of great players I've been able to be a part of.
I want to go back to the decision that the opportunity that you had and the decision that you made, a selfless decision, because that team that you were the interim head coach for, and that you could have been the head coach for coming back, because it was loaded. I mean, it was going back to the Final Four. I was stunned to you and I have a mutual friend in Brian Miller.
Yes.
Who was in sports information here, and then he went and was in sports information there. And I remember him telling the story about you turning down the chance to be the head coach. And I thought to myself, one, is he crazy just because of the kids you had come back? But I admired that you did that, and not knowing that you would have a job with the new head coach coming in. I think that says a lot about your character. And I think it says a lot about your abilities as a coach as well.
Well, I appreciate it. Like I said, decisions that you make, and the most difficult decisions that I think a good coach makes are based on people. It's not based on money. It's not based on location. It's not based on prestige. And I literally loved that group of kids. I mean, they were just a phenomenal group of kids. Forget how good they were on the court. They were equally as special in the classroom and off the court. And they really deserved the best out there. And I knew we were certainly going to have some amazing candidates. There's going to be a lot of people that wanted to coach that group. And I had some discussions with Skip Bertman, the AD, who's somebody that has been a mentor of mine, I have a lot of respect for. And
speaking of another Hall of Famer,
absolutely. we could do a whole show on his impact on me. He took me under his wing. In fact, I'm going to do an appearance on his radio show this weekend. But I knew that he would hire the right person. Skip really got one of the things that made a difference in LSU in women's basketball was Skip becoming AD, because he understood what it took to win at a non-revenue sport. And he was really involved. So I had a lot of faith in him to do the right thing. And I just thought the program deserved it. There was a short, quick stop at Central Florida. Coach Chancellor retired. The administration went out and hired Nikki Vargas, and Nikki brought in an entire staff, which I absolutely understand. So I was actually hunting for some employment. And at the time, I thought I was going to take a year off. It had been a really long grind from the interim situation, Coach Gunner's passing, the Final Four run. So I thought I'd take a run. And Joey Williams is a dear old friend of mine. And Greg Brown was on that staff. And they said, won't you come down here and work? And so I went down to Central Florida for a year and had just an amazing experience. Loved my time there. But then Gary called. And Gary and I had been friends since his days at Arkansas, and I was at LSU. And if you know Gary, everybody's Gary's friend. It's just – it's the way Gary operates. So
no head coach has passed out more candy to people than Gary Blair before basketball games.
Well, you got that right. I'll tell you another thing, Andy. He's got this thing called Blair's Buddies, and it raises money and provides him with tickets to give away free to anybody. You could see Gary at a funeral or a wedding or a party, and he'll have tickets sticking out of his back pocket to pass out. I mean, he's the ultimate promoter. You talk about things you learn, and that will be some of those things that are going to carry over. I'm not going to be passing out candy, but some of his marketing tools that he used to grow that fan base, which he actually did when Johnny was his assistant. We both learned from Gary. Some of those things are going to translate over here to help us grow our fan base as well.
That is such a storied program at Texas A&M, and was outstanding from the day it moved into the Southeastern Conference. I mean, that has been just an outstanding. I think it won the conference championship in the first year it was in the league, if I'm not mistaken.
You did. That was actually my first year on the staff. My first year on the staff, we won the SEC championship, beat three top 10 teams in 3 days. It was a great run.
Wickles Pickles is proud to be the new sponsor of the Talking Tigers podcast. From Saturday sandwiches to Thanksgiving dinner, that secret 90-year-old recipe has people from all over calling to get some of those sweet and spicy jars. Look for Wickles Pickles at a grocery store near you and bring those tangy and fresh pickles to your home. Made fresh in Dadeville, Alabama.
Talk about your relationship with Johnny, and what do you see from this program moving forward in this staff? And by all accounts, this is an outstanding staff that Coach Harris has put together here at Auburn.
Well, you know, I first obviously knew Johnny from competing against her. Obviously, she was on Gary's staff at Arkansas as well. And the neat thing about Gary is Gary's one of those guys who gets along with everybody. You know, sometimes in this business, people compete against each other and they think they have to be enemies or they can't be friends. You know, you could play Coach Blair in a game in the Southeastern Conference tournament and beat him and run into him in the lobby of a hotel and he'll want to buy you a drink or take you to dinner. And that carries over to their staff. So I, you know, here I am at LSU and I get along with Gary. I get along with Vic. I get along with Johnny, Kelly Bond, who was on the staff. I mean, they're just great people. And I had an opportunity actually through a step up to get to know Johnny even better, to hear her speak and get to know her. I'll tell you a quick story about Johnny. This is one of the reasons that I'm here working for Johnny. When Johnny recruits, she doesn't just talk about the basketball component. She talks about life. She talks about education. And she really hits the education component hard. And she tells those young people that one of the most special days in their life is walking across that stage and getting that degree. And she said, it's so important. I'm going to promise you right now, I'm going to be there when you walk across that stage. I want to celebrate that day. So she leaves to go to Mississippi State. I come in that first year. We win the Southeastern Conference tournament. Spring rolls around. We have three seniors walking across that stage. Guess who flies in from Mississippi State to watch them? And then every graduation for the next 5 years, she had a player. Now, here's the one. When I came in, we had six freshmen that she had recruited. It was the number two ranked class in the country. She never coached those kids a single game, but came to their graduation ceremony. And I've got to know Johnny on all levels, but that was the one that told me, because I this is a business about helping young people. That's what I'm in it for. And so Johnny and I have some shared philosophy and principles and values. And she is 100% the reason I'm here. You know, I've gotten a few calls. You know, we won the SEC championship last year. And so I decided to leave a Hall of Fame coach and come here for a program that went 0-15 in the league. And I can promise you without hesitation, it's because of my belief in Johnny Harris. I know it's going to be a long haul. It's going to be challenges and we're going to have some bumps in the road, but it's exhilarating a little bit to know that we can rebuild something. And here's the thing, Andy, I'm old. I can remember when Joe was going to the Final Four. Actually, when I was on Sue's staff, we played against Coach Champy towards the end of his career. I was at LSU when Nell won an SEC championship, so already know it can be done here. It's exciting to rebuild as much as I know it's going to be difficult. The other thing that excites me is just in my short time here, I'm so impressed with our leadership and our administration, and how involved and committed they are to helping us succeed. And I can go to Texas A&M. I can go back to LSU and I could go back to Marshall and West Virginia State and tell you that every place I've been has had administrators that have impacted our program. They don't get a lot of credit for wins and losses. You know, they get credit if somebody loses and they got to fire a coach, but we've got great leadership here and that inspires me and makes me know that we can get it done.
Bob, talk about your family, if you would, please.
I sure would. Real quick and easy. I've got a wife. No children. My wife is a West Virginia native like I am. It's somewhat funny that we went to the same high school 2 years apart, and she knew my sister. My wife, by the way, is named Sherry, played high school basketball, but we never dated, weren't friends. Just, you know, I knew who she was. She knew who I was. And I was coaching at LSU, and she was going through a difficult time with multiple sclerosis. And my sister reached out to me, said, would you drop her a couple of notes just encouraging her? She goes, I think that would mean a lot. Everybody knows who you are because you're at LSU. So I dropped her a couple of notes and she wrote back. And so next time I went in, we went to lunch and, you know, next thing I know, I'm working for Dale. And right after we beat Kentucky at Rupp Arena, you know, I proposed to her. And by far, Andy, by far, my number one recruit. You know, nobody thought I could sign that. Nobody got, you talk about a Hall of Famer. If there's a Hall of Famer for coaches' spouses, she would be it. She embraces our kids. You know, we don't have kids. So just real quick, this is what we do at Christmas. We have our managers, student trainers, student workers. They come over to the house. We feed them and they decorate our tree. And so the next morning, my wife gets up and takes all the decorations down. And then we bring the players over and we do it all over again. In February, we'll have Mardi Gras night at the house, and Sherry will make jambalaya and gumbo, and we'll fly in a king cake from Gambino's, and we'll bring the kids over and she'll put beads on them. And she loves the game. She knows more about Auburn athletics than I do. I mean, she is one of those who on Saturday morning gets up so she doesn't want to miss a minute of game day, and she's watching college football all day long. She is so hyped to be able to finally see a game here. So probably a lot of people may know her because of her battle with breast cancer. We made the decision when she was diagnosed to go public about it. Some people go public, some people fight it privately, and both of them are correct answers for whatever their family wants to go through. Has just been a beacon of courage and inspiration. She has volunteered at cancer hospitals. She's been part of advertising campaigns. One of the things that I'm very proud of is I serve on the board of the KL Cancer Fund. We'll be very involved in our campus. Sherry and I will go around and talk to sororities and fraternities and groups about early detection. And, you know, the thing about, and Andy, you obviously, you know this, and I'm not lost on this, but 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with some form of invasive breast cancer. And after every practice, I'm standing in the circle with anywhere from 12 to 15 young women.
Yeah.
So it's an important cause. And I'm excited she's still with us. And I'm excited that she understands and gets the importance of taking her adversity and using it to inspire and help and raise funds and awareness.
You bring up an interesting point, Bob, in talking with Coach Harris on this podcast about a month ago. The importance of this team, this staff, this program to be out in the community, it seems to be one of the bedrocks of her commitment to Auburn. Would you agree?
100%. You know, I had the opportunity, the privilege to speak at the Auburn Rotary Club earlier this week. One of the first things I told them is we want to be a program for the community. We're going to roll up our sleeves. We're going to get involved with things. It's the right way to do things for the right reasons. The one thing I learned from Dale Brown is that basketball is simply a tool that we use to impact young people and to change communities. And that's what we're going to do here. Now, we got to win games to keep our job. You know, we want to keep our job, pay the bills. But if all we're doing is winning basketball games, then we don't have a program of purpose. We want to be relevant in a lot of ways. And gosh, the reaction I got from the Rotary Club, so many of them stuck around, gave me their business cards and had ideas and suggestions. And part of that's the Gary Blair influence as well. You know, we'll have luncheons for our fans. We'll have some open practices. We're going to get involved in causes, and we're going to be out there. And we want the Auburn community to know our staff and to know our players on a very significant level.
You're a storyteller, so give me your best Shaq story.
Wow. I got a couple.
I'm sure.
Here's the one, because I don't, you know, and I'll tell this to our team every year. We had another really talented center on our team named Stanley Roberts. Ended up being a first round draft pick, very talented, but both of them came in together, and Shaquille was starting and Stanley was struggling, you know, with freshmen struggle. And Shaquille interrupted one of our staff meetings and came in, sat down, said, "Hey, coaches, listen, I think Stanley would benefit if he could start. I think it would help his confidence. I'm okay coming off the bench. Won't you start him and bring me off the bench? You know, I'm not worried about my minutes. I know I'm going to get my minutes, but maybe this will help Stanley." Now, how many players today are going to come in your office and say, "Hey, put me on the bench. I'll come off the bench, play so-and-so." That's who Shaquille is. That's who Shaquille is. You know, they have a Champs student athlete program there that does things, help them build a resume, brings guest speakers in, how to dress for success, all this stuff. Shaquille sponsors that. He's such a giving guy. You know, you see this big giant, You see this big giant, but he's a giving guy. Another real quick, after his sophomore year, our staff and Shaquille and their family came in, Sergeant Harrison, his father, and Lucille's mom. And this will tell you a little bit why Shaquille is the way he is. And Dale's got all this information. He was the best. He's called general managers in the NBA and coaches and everything. He said, right now, you know, Shaq, you come out, you're going to go in the lottery. You're probably going to go between 3 and 8. This is how much money you'll make at each spot. This is the bonus. This is the endorsement. Shaquille's mom said, well, Coach Brown, Shaquille's not going anywhere. He hasn't got his degree yet. He's coming back next year. I'm sorry you went to all this work, but Shaquille will be coming back to school next year. So that was the end of that meeting. Yeah. So obviously the next year he comes back, has another monster year, and we have the same meeting. And Dale's like, hey, you know, you're number one. There's no, maybe you're number one. This is the amount of money, this. And Lucille said, Coach Brown, Shaquille still doesn't have his degree. Now, this says something about Dale Brown. Says, Lucille, I absolutely love your commitment to education, but I'm not letting Shaquille come back.
Yeah.
It's time for him to go. And Shaquille wanted to go. And he said, I promise you he's going to get his degree. And of course, Shaquille got his degree, got his master's, got his doctorate. You know, that was the influence of his family. You know, there was a kid who people see people of talent and don't understand how hard they work. Shaquille had a monster work ethic at LSU. He was an absolute pleasure to coach. Not everybody with talent. You know, you get some prima donnas in the business. Shaquille was never that. He was a blessing to coach.
Coach Harris is known as a monster recruiter, and work that she has done with bigs in her career. I was talking with Jeff Danzler at the Georgia baseball series a couple of weeks ago, and Jeff is the longtime voice for Georgia women's basketball. And he was asking about the staff. And I said, you know, we got Bob Starkey on the staff. And he says, dang, wherever that guy is, they're winning. So you certainly have that reputation. But what do you think you bring to this, in addition to all those wins and those Final Fours and those kids that you've been a part of their careers, both men and women? But what do you think you bring to Auburn in this staff?
Well, I think the first thing's experience. Just being around the block, being involved in a lot of different scenarios and coaching, some great seasons, some good seasons, some tough seasons, coaching a variety of players, certainly know the lay of the land in the league. I think that experience is something that I think will really benefit our staff, because it is a fairly young staff, great energy. I mean, let me tell you something about Johnny. And this is rare. Johnny gets the job. She has three people she wants to hire. She gets all three. And I'm telling you, that just doesn't happen. That really speaks to who Johnny is and the people that she brought in, Katera and Dimitri, and how much they believe in her. And then the other people, the support staff she's brought in. So, but Johnny has a plan for all of us. Johnny will continue to coach the post, and I'll coach the perimeter players. There's an absolute plan in place. It's going to take time. I mean, one of the things I told the Auburn Rotary is I'm a truth teller. This is not going to be easy early. There's a change in the culture that needs to occur. The one thing we told our players is this is going to be a very, very special place. This is going to become a place that players want to come. They're going to want to be a part of this. And some of y'all might not be along for the journey. You know, we need to find out who really wants to be a part of excellence. And excellence is demanding, because you can't be excellent on Monday and Tuesday and take Wednesday off. Excellence becomes a daily habit. And those are some of the – this is a really big summer for us. And not just in teaching basketball, but getting their mindset and their hearts right and letting them understand what's expected of them here, and understanding that this is going to be a very special place. And you know, one of the things we told them, in no way, shape, or form are we telling you this is going to be easy, but we're telling you it's going to be worth it. We promise you, if you do the things we ask, it's just not going to make you a better basketball player, but it's going to serve you in life. So it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be fun. I know there's going to be some speed bumps. I get that. You know, one of the things I talked to the Rotary Club is it'll be a little bit quicker if we can get some fans to join. And I know how it usually goes. Usually you win and then the fans come. But we're going to see with our marketing and our promoting and some of Johnny's ideas and some of the things that I've learned from Skip, if we can get some people out a little bit early and get this thing excited again. And we're going to get there. Maybe not quick enough for all of us, but we will get there.
Well, as someone who called women's basketball at Auburn for 31 years, it obviously has a very special place in my heart. And I'm thrilled with this staff, with Johnny and everyone, including yourself, that are part of this. I can't wait to watch it. I can't wait to watch it. And I'll be there for you guys in any way that I possibly can.
Well, that means a lot, Andy. That's what we're talking about right there. You know, one of the first things that Johnny has done has reached out to our alumni base. Telling them we're going to work for you guys. We want you back. She was on the phone with Dawana Bonner 2 days ago. We're going to reach out to.
That's a pretty good start.
That is a very good start. I wish she had another year left. I told her, she beat me a couple times at LSU. She was a special player, and I still enjoy watching her play now. So it's like at the Auburn Rotary, there were some former season ticket holders mm-hmm. in the group that I had an opportunity to connect with. And so we're going to recruit fans as hard as we recruit players.
Bob, thank you for the visit today. I know this is a busy time for you. Again, just really thrilled that you're a part of this staff and a part of this community now. Look forward to watching this team and this program moving forward. War Eagle.
War Eagle.
For Bob Starkey and the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by Wickles Pickles, I'm Andy Burcham. Be strong and be courageous. War Eagle.